Hi, I'm Antonio Centeno, and you're listening to the Personal Image System Podcast. Gentlemen, just a quick reminder that all the material here is pulled from the Personal Image System. The Personal Image System is my master level course. I offer it a few times a year. This system is built off of decades of research and development. I also pull in my experience having helped thousands of men dress better as a custom clothier. I also pull in my science background, so we've got this whole science of style section. Gentlemen, the Personal Image System is action oriented. It's got an amazing community. It has live training, 100 plus lessons with resource materials, body language, etiquette, manners, buy list. It has video, audio, guys, scripts out there that you can follow as to how to up your style. I make it simple. Go check it out. You're not going to be disappointed. To learn more about the Personal Image System, simply type into Google, it'll pop up, or go over to realmenrealstyle.com and I'll have a banner right there for you where you can just click and learn more about the Personal Image System. All right, so today we're going to dive right into the halo effect. This is probably one of the most cited pieces of research or generalizations that you'll hear in probably the style industry. I saw the original research put out by Thorndike back in 1920. And what this guy, Edward Thorndike, what he found, and he was looking at a number of, and this is personal to me, and I'll go into the story here, which I usually don't cover, but I think is very applicable. So he was studying military officers, and what he saw is that whenever an image was associated with them, they usually had their pictures. If anyone's been in the military, they used to have these files on everyone, basically performance reports. You do them every 6 months. It's required. So he had all of this data, and he was able to look at it. And what he noticed is that if a person looked like the ideal, that they possessed the qualities of what was perceived as the ideal soldier, they were ranked higher. And initially, he called it the halo error, the halo defect, because what happened is if these guys looked the part of the perfect soldier, and we're talking from characteristics of face to shoulder build to all of these things. And if you think of a soldier, you think of an ideal Marine or an ideal sailor. What do we think? We think tall. We think strong. We think built in a way that a soldier should be built, that he can, you know, he's got big muscles and all these other things. However, my experience in the Marine Corps, that does not define what the ideal. In fact, if you ever talk to anyone in Special Forces or Navy SEALs, each of the services, they've got, you know, Delta in the Army, Marine Corps, we got Force Recon. The point is, if you talk to the guys, there isn't a definition of what these guys look like, because it comes down to resilience and grit and being able to handle things and take a positive spin when life sucks. That's what gets those guys through what they do. It has nothing to do with how big your muscles are. But the problem here, and I saw it in the Marine Corps, is that whenever we see someone who is the ideal, who looks that magical part of man, he looks locked on. We assume that they are locked on. Thorndike saw this, and it was something that he was like trying to think, why in the world are these guys just getting, in a sense, a free pass? When I go back to my own experience as an adjutant in an infantry battalion, I saw everyone's, I saw all the reports. And one thing that kind of disturbed me is I remember one officer who I don't feel was really given the chance because he spoke with a stutter, because he did not look the part. He was very thin. He was kind of a mixed Asian descent. And there were all these things about him that didn't make him look like the typical Marine. I can tell you, though, he was an amazing officer. And versus another officer who looked the part. This guy looked like he came out of a G.I. Joe package. He had everything set up, you know, going for him. But when it comes down to it, I thought he was a crummy officer. I thought he was one that he didn't, I mean, there were just things I knew, and I would talk with his Marines, and I was surprised that the one who looked the part was always, it seems, given a free pass. He was always perceived when something went wrong in his unit that, you know, it was because of extenuating circumstances versus the other one. It was like he was just perceived as, he wasn't perceived as high quality. So I saw this, and You know, it's one of those things we probably have seen it through life. Somebody that's beautiful, somebody that's really attractive, we've seen it at work. There's someone out there. I've had guys tell me about this, that they maybe there's a woman at work. She's incredibly attractive. And because of that, and she works in a very, you know, let's say an environment where there's a lot of men, she is given a free pass on all the things. Yeah, she can't, you know, she doesn't do a great job here, but we love to have her around because she just puts a smile on everybody's face. I don't know if they're actually saying that. And I know I don't mean that to sound sexist or anything, because it actually applies to men as well. If the guy looks like he is a type A, that he, you know, he came out of like a top school, he gives that kind of presence, he's going to get a lot of free passes as well. And, you know, there's only so much you can control about your body shape, about your facial structure, about, you know, the color of your skin and your hair, all these other things. But it is something that you can do something about the presentation. You can get in better shape. You can take care of your body. You can stand with a better posture. You can wear clothing that makes you look great. And what happens here is that you all of a sudden are able to put on a halo. Why does this matter? So the big point, if you're going to take anything from this, you know, convoluted intro that I got in here, is look the part, because then people will give you the benefit of the doubt. Versus if you don't look the part, if you betray their expectations, then they're going to, you know, find reasons. They're going to say, oh, well, I thought, you know, he didn't look like that smart of a person. He didn't look that great of a customer service representative. I knew this was going to happen. Versus if you look the part, then they're like, you know, I'm going to give them another chance because this just seems out of character. How do they know your character? They haven't known. They just hired you. But it is one of those things that I would rather you get the benefit of the doubt and get multiple chances than for them to confirm in their mind their suspicions about you and then to get rid of you immediately. So Thorndike, he did this research back in 1920. And one of the things I advocate is look at when the research was done. A lot of the research done, you know, less than 30 or 40 years ago, sometimes they've changed the way that, you know, the scrutiny that they put these things under. I don't know if Thorndike's research, the way it was done then, would actually, you know, still, but it has been reinforced. And I can tell you that we go back to, I think it was 1972, Dion and Bernscheid at the University of Minnesota. Basically, they gave students photographs of people and they asked them to rate the people based on a wide range of traits, negative and positive. Overwhelmingly, the attractive photos were rated as having positive personalities, happy, high status lives, while unattractive photos were judged to possess negative characteristics. And what's funny, I just saw another study. This one was done about 10 years ago. I don't actually have it. Like, it was more of like I was watching the video, but what they did is they took pictures of the same guy. And they put it out there, but they put a few, you know, they changed up the way he was dressed. They changed up his perceived height. And all of a sudden, based off how attractive he was and his perceived height, they asked people, oh, what do you think that this person does? And when he was dressed like a student, he had messed up hair. He was wearing very casual clothing. Oh, like maybe a dishwasher. Maybe he's a student. Maybe he's, I mean, all these things, which, I mean, they're not bad. People have to do them. But as soon as he was wearing a suit, as soon as he had his present, I mean, we're talking the same person here. It's just simply, oh, and they also, height had something to do with it as well. They perceived him, oh, he's a startup of a CEO. He's making this amount of money. It's very interesting how these things can have an effect. I know height, I could go down a whole nother realm with that one. Now let's talk about another study. This one, I think it was in 1974, and Landy and Signal over at, don't actually have the university where they were at, but what they did is that they put in front of people unattractive photos, and they had a writing sample. And then they put attractive photos with the same writing sample. And you know what happened? Is that if it was an attractive person and they saw the person and they saw the writing sample, they would give it a higher rating than they would if it was an unattractive person. Now, a lot of these studies, they have to do kind of with the shoulders and the face up. But one thing I've seen in these is oftentimes attractiveness has to do with hair. So if you're a woman listening to this, actually hair has a lot to do with attraction, with a man as well. There's a lot you can actually do with your hair. So that's one of the reasons I advocate that a man actually pay attention to his hairstyle. Maybe it's something, especially if he's out there in the business world, that he maybe spend a little bit more time putting himself together there. I have a friend, a number of friends actually, that do a great job with their part. They add product. In my opinion, having a little bit of product, having a little bit of shine to your hair, showing that you actually put a little bit of effort into it, gives you a much dressier look. Now, there's a number of other studies out there. There's the Nisbet and Wilson study. I think it was 1977. I've also got some more recent ones, which I have actually in my Science of Style section over at the Personal Image System, where all of this information is coming from. But guys, understand that it's not like somebody sees an attractive person and they consciously make the decision, I'm going to trust them more. It's almost an unconscious effect. And we can go back to, let's look at Nixon versus Kennedy. Go back to those original debates. And one of the interesting things is whenever we had, and so they had both candidates, they were in different parts. One of them was in Los Angeles, Nixon. The other one, New York. Kennedy was over in New York. Kennedy was very particular about the way the light was, about the way he was going to be featured and shown. Nixon didn't give it as much. Like, this was a whole new thing, the whole idea of television and doing a debate here. And as such, Nixon came off as not as trustworthy. He didn't seem as someone that, you know, you would actually enjoy being around. Kennedy came off as more approachable, just as more trustworthy, and that had an effect. And they've shown this halo effect. I think it's actually the study I just talked about, where the 1977 Nisbet study, where they actually filmed lecturers and they actually showed it to the same students, and based off of how the lecturer was dressed or how the actor who was perceived or who actually was the lecturer, how attractive he was, they actually thought he was either a nice guy, a good guy, intelligent, versus if he actually wasn't presented well, that all of a sudden the negative attention. The same thing with musicians. If a musician goes onto a stage and he betrays your expectation, and I'm not talking about just presentation, because with the Personal Image System, one of the things I advocate, clothing is just a part, but it's also how you walk out on stage. It's how you present yourself. It's how you sit. It's how you stand. It's making sure if you're going to be doing a classic presentation or you're in a conservative industry, do not betray the expectation. Don't come in there and think, I know a lot of people say, oh, I just want to be myself. Well, in this case, it may be worth being a little bit more polished and making sure that you deliver to the audience what they expect. So guys, I've covered a lot of studies in this. I go into a lot more detail. If you go over to, you want just the free information, go check out Real Men, Real Style. I've got tons of studies in which we talk about how this has an effect. But I wanted to get you interested in this and understand the halo effect is real. And it impacts people's evaluation of you every single day. So whether you're walking down the street, whether you're walking into a presentation, understand that the way that initially you present yourself will have, you know, people will put a positive spin or a negative spin. And if they put the negative spin, you're going to have to try to overcome it. Versus if you can get them to get that positive take on it, then all of a sudden you can make mistakes and they'll say, oh, they'll excuse them because they'll just think they're anomalies. Make sense? All right. So if you enjoy the halo effect and you want to read the notes on this, go over to realmenrealstyle.com/episode10. That's where this one's going to be at. You can go over there and get the show notes. I go into a lot more detail. And guys, you can explore Real Men Real Style, where you're going to find we've got infographics, all that other great stuff, which is going to better help you understand the science of style, the halo effect, and many other studies and bits of information about men's style. Interested in learning more about how style can increase your earning power, help you command respect, and come off as more attractive? Guys, I've got two options for you. First, check out the Personal Image System. I've got a Science of Style section. It's action-oriented. It's got an amazing community, live training, and 100-plus lessons with resource material. Or check out Real Men Real Style. Guys, I've got a free app over there that has some of the world's best infographics built right into it. It's got 1,000-plus free videos and articles. Also, we've got free ebooks, free courses, I've even got a free consultation system where you can enter a little bit of information about yourself and we spit out a personalized video for you. Guys, that's it. I'll see you in the next episode.